Sometimes we have a limited view of God and what it is to be godly.
This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Sorta, but not really. Podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. More about that in a minute. It's Gospel Saturday, and our reading will be Acts 9 and 10. Of course, I'm on vacation, so I'm not really in Riverside. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and I'll have contact information at the end of the show. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, and I thank you, Lord, for the LifeSpring family. Thank you for bringing us here together around your word. I pray that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, are you ready? Let's begin.
Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." Those traveling with him stood there speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. After they picked Saul up from the ground, he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and neither ate nor drank anything. In Damascus there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias?" He answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas' house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight." Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go. This man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went to the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here. He sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Right away, he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogues. "He is God's son," he declared. Everyone who heard him was baffled. They questioned each other, "Isn't he the one who was wreaking havoc among those in Jerusalem who called on this name? Hadn't he come here to take those same people as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew stronger and stronger. He confused the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After this had gone on for some time, the Jews hatched a plot to kill Saul. However, he found out about their scheme. They were keeping watch at the city gates around the clock so they could assassinate him. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the city wall. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe he was really a disciple. Then Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles and told them the story about how Saul saw the Lord on the way and that the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them about the confidence with which Paul had preached in the name of Jesus in Damascus. After this, Saul moved freely among the disciples in Jerusalem and was speaking with confidence in the name of the Lord. He got into debates with the Greek-speaking Jews as well, but they tried to kill him. When the family of believers learned about this, they escorted him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. God strengthened the church, and its life was marked by reverence for the Lord. Encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the church continued to grow in numbers. As Peter toured the whole region, he went to visit God's holy people in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been confined to his bed for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." At once he got up. Everyone who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. After they washed her body, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please, come right away." Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room, then knelt and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray, about the 6th hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and an object, like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descended to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done 3 times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me?" So Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days.
Now let's talk a little bit about Acts 10. In this chapter, we were introduced to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army. But he was not a typical Roman. He was a devout believer in the God of the Jews, even though, being a Gentile, the average Jew would have very little, if anything, to do with him. As a matter of fact, most Jews would have a strong dislike for or even hate him. I mean, after all, Rome was an occupying force in Israel, and most Romans treated the Jews with disdain. But Cornelius was what the Jews of the time called a God-fearer. A Gentile who loved the God of Israel, but who did not become Jewish in how they lived their lives or in circumcision. Jews came to respect them, but they couldn't fully embrace them because they were Gentiles and had not become Jewish converts. Well, we know that God loved and heard Cornelius's prayers because God gave him a vision of an angel while he was in prayer, with a message telling him to send some men to Joppa to bring Peter to speak to him. And then, the next day, while Peter was praying, God spoke to him in a vision. Peter was shown a large sheet filled with all kinds of animals, some of which Peter would consider kosher or clean, and some that were not. Well, God told Peter to kill and eat some of them. And then, in typical Peter fashion, he said, Oh, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that wasn't kosher or clean. Then God told him, What I have made clean, you must not call unclean. Well, this happened three times, and then the sheet with the animals was taken back up to heaven. Peter's problem was he had a very limited view of God and what it was to be godly. And now God was going to shake Peter up to change his thinking. Sometimes we have a limited view of God and what it is to be godly, so God can shake us up too. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this. He said, Shake yourself up a little, my brother. If you are too precise, may the Lord set you on fire and consume your bonds of red tape. If you've become so improperly proper that you cannot commit a proper impropriety, then pray God to help you be less proper, for there are many who will never be saved by your instrumentality while you study propriety. Good stuff. Isn't it interesting that at this point in Peter's life, God had used him mightily for his kingdom? Remember Peter's first sermon? About 3,000 souls believed and were saved. And every day souls were being added to the church because of how God was using him. But Peter was still Peter. God uses us despite our own personalities, idiosyncrasies, and imperfections. And if we're willing to follow, he is willing to use us. So this vision was shown to Peter three times. Kind of reminds me of the three times Peter denied Jesus on the night he was betrayed. How about you? I believe God repeated this three times so that Peter would get the idea that God was serious and to make him see that God was not just talking about food. And while Peter was still thinking about this, the men sent by Cornelius showed up looking for him. And the Holy Spirit told Peter to go with them, doubting nothing, because they were sent by him. Now, by then, Peter seems to have gotten the larger message that what God declares clean, Peter should not call unclean. He invited these Gentiles into his home, which is something no Jew would have done. Remember, Peter is now a Christian, but he's also a Jew. And God, on this day, had enlarged Peter's heart to embrace the Gentiles. The next day, Peter went with these men to the home of Cornelius, who was waiting and prepared to meet him. He had even invited guests to hear what Peter had to say. And when Peter arrived, Cornelius fell at his feet and he began to worship him. But Peter stopped him and lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I'm a man just like you." So here we see, Peter finally gets it. We are all the same in the eyes of God. What does John 3:16-17 say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So what did Peter do in the home of Cornelius? He preached a salvation message to Cornelius and his household, and while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they were saved. And Peter said, "Let's have a baptism." I accepted the Lord in a relatively small Southern Baptist church on a Sunday morning when I was a teenager, and I was baptized that same night. I like that. Many churches today don't do that. They wait until they have a group of people before having a baptismal service, but I think there's something to be said for baptizing sooner rather than later. I don't see it as being crucial to salvation, but baptism is something that we're told to do. It's a sign of the decision that a person has made that they now belong to the Lord, and in my opinion, following the command quickly is a good way for the new believer to understand that it is important to obey God right away, not when it's convenient. It sets a precedent for them, but maybe that's just me. But I like that Peter said, "Let's have a baptism." What a powerful message this chapter has for us today, beloved. We, as a culture, are more divided than I've ever experienced in my nearly 68 years of life. We're politically divided, we're racially divided, we're economically divided, and it doesn't have to be this way. This is not of God. This is of the enemy. People need the Lord today as much as they ever have, and we need to do what Peter did. We need to tell people how Jesus came to seek and save the lost.
Tomorrow will be Epistle Sunday, and we'll complete the book of James with chapters 4 and 5. Just because the lovely Lady Leanne and I are on vacation this week does not mean I don't want to hear from you. I definitely do want to hear from you. If you have a comment, a question, a prayer request, or a praise report, here's how to reach me. You can send a boostergram, that's fast and easy, or you can leave a voice message by calling the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And for comments or questions, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And of course, you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to Sister Denise and Michael Hainer and Scott Snyder and Jason Pascal and Sister Brittany. God bless you guys for your donations of time and talent. Scott Snyder did today's show art. And thank you for being with me today. I'll see you tomorrow, okay? Until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.